Father in heaven, we're thankful as we gather together this morning in your sanctuary, for it is to praise our Creator. Lord, you know our needs, you know our desires, you know everything about us, our hearts. We pray that we would be inspired by your truth and your word. And just pray, Lord, that we rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide us and to show us, Lord, what we need to learn this morning. And Father, continue to guide and direct our paths, for you are great, your mercy endures forever. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Back home, I'm studying through the book of Genesis. And as I've come to the story in the life of Joseph, that's what I'm convinced we should study this morning. And so let's turn to Genesis chapter 40, the beginning of the Bible. And before we read this, an introduction would be, I believe, appropriate, where Joseph, a young man of 17 who was given a coat of many colors by his father, had a series of dreams, two dreams, told them to his brother, his father. They didn't really care for what he had to say. They go off elsewhere, tending the sheep, and his father says, Joseph, go and see how your brothers are doing. And as he arrives, they see him. Out of jealousy and rage, they throw him into a pit. He's sold into slavery, into Egypt, becomes a slave in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife attempts to incite Joseph to sin. He refuses. She falsely accuses him. And Joseph is thrown in prison. So that's where we are. And let's begin reading at verse number 1, chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, and each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. And yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief butler as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. What is it that shapes our character? I think if we look back upon our lives, we can see that there are events that have unfolded that perhaps directed as to how we respond to things, that perhaps inspired us to take certain actions, perhaps encouraged us to think a certain way. And this morning, I'd like us to consider the character of this patriarch, Joseph. And I say that because there are a lot of similarities. Actually, when we look at his life, we can say that he is a type or a picture of Christ. We know that, and this isn't something we're just making up on our own because of the many, many similarities between Jesus and between Joseph. Both had been sent by their father. Both were shepherds. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Both falsely accused. Both sold for silver. Many similarities we're also going to see in the passage that's before us. But when we think about the things that happened to this young man who at the age of 17 was thrown by his own brethren into a cistern, a pit, and by his very own brethren sold into slavery. And it seems as though no matter what he could have done, the right things, he obeyed what his father told him, go out and see how your brethren are doing. The Bible says that he was in Potiphar's house as a slave. And back in those days, we understand that slaves typically began working out in the fields. So most likely, Joseph didn't begin by just working in this nobleman's home, but probably started from the bottom up, worked his way up. And the Bible tells us that God blessed Potiphar's house because of this young man, Joseph. Comes to a point where he refuses Potiphar's wife's advances. Said, "I'm not going to sin against God. God is the most important thing in my life." She conjures up a lie, and Potiphar throws him into prison. Now, there's indication that Potiphar didn't completely believe his wife. Why? Because the punishment for adultery in the Egyptian culture was death. And rather have Joseph killed, he threw him in a prison. He had to save face. I believe Potiphar did. Either you believe the slave or you believe your wife. What are you going to do? Well, he puts him into the prison. And we come to a point where Joseph is about 28 years old. If you look at chapter 41, it says, "And it came to pass at the end of two full years." And so the reason we know that he's about 28 is because at the end of this chapter of 41, approximately at the age of 30, is when Pharaoh elevates him to become the overseer, the second highest in all of the land, just under Pharaoh. And 2 years before that would bring him about 28 years old. When he arrived, he was 17. So he was a slave for about 11 years. Now think about this. Taken by his own brethren, tearing his clothing, his beloved gift from his father of a coat of many colors, thrown into this pit, sold into slavery. He's by himself into a culture that is highly pagan. He's the only Hebrew there. Has to learn a language. Learns the culture, to read, to write, all of these things. And the only thing that he had to go by was the dreams that God had given to him so long ago. There was no Bible that he could look up while he's there in the prison cell. There was no Torah that he could unroll and read and be encouraged by it. Now think about where he is now. If you were in his position, how would you react? Would you feel sorry for yourself? And I don't deny that all of us go through things in life. We go through certain things that are very difficult. Some do, don't they? Some more than others. I've come across many people who have gone through some very, very difficult times. And honestly, I have to be thankful, Lord, I don't know how I would have handled this situation. But here's a young man, thousands of miles from home, all on his own. And he had every reason to be bitter. First to his brethren, the ones that should have loved him. He had reason to be bitter against Potiphar's wife. She lied. against Potiphar. He was faithful to that man. As a matter of fact, he had every reason to be bitter against God, didn't he? Because God, how can you let this young man be in a prison cell for this long? What did he do wrong? Nothing. He obeyed you. He did everything right, didn't he? And one of the characteristics that I see in Joseph is I see his compassion. Where does that come from? Now think about if you're in his position, what would you think about? You'd think about the injustices done to yourself. You'd just think about me, wouldn't we? How do I get out of here? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm an innocent man. But you know, I believe God gave him compassion, because when we look at the scriptures and we look at the Bible, and Joseph, it says, he comes to them in the morning, and he says, why are you so sad? Now tell me this. How is it that a man who's mistreated so terribly, completely innocent in all ways, can think about somebody else in a time like this? Isn't it true that Jesus himself, in the most dire circumstances, while hanging on that cross for you and for me, thought of other people? We were on his mind. He said to John, "Behold your mother." Oh, the compassion of Jesus. How oftentimes do we think of other people? How oftentimes do we think about others other than ourselves and the things that maybe we are going through that can be very, very difficult? And perhaps fully justified in wondering what God has for a plan in our lives. But when you think about how hurt people do react, what do? Oftentimes they can play a victim, can't they? It's like, well, I'm a victim of circumstances. I'm a victim of something else. You know, this is what somebody else has done to me. It isn't me that had got myself into the situation. But not only do they portray themselves as victims, a lot of times they can try to run away from their pain. Maybe they can deny what they're going through. Maybe they can just kind of go way off course, perhaps even forget about God. We've been tempted to do that. Lord, I don't hear an answer. Joseph, it's been 11 years. Where are you, God? There's no indication here that God gave him another dream at this point in life, that God somehow spoke to him in a vision. And yet the Bible says that God remembered him. In verse 23 in the previous chapter, if you read this, it says, "The keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him." Was with who? Was with Joseph. "And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." And yet through all of this, he had a compassion for other people. As we go about in this world, you know, in situations that are very, very difficult, would we be able, by God's grace, to think about other people? You know, the brother just mentioned the book that's been translated. I had the privilege of just looking over a copy just last evening. On the back cover, there's a statement by a brother who's in prison. This is what he said. He said, "When I was in prison," he said, it felt good to be able to be a witness for the Lord. Can you imagine that? While in prison? For why? Because he held to the things in the Bible? And he says, I was able to be a witness for God. To think about other people, their lives, their eternal state. Oh, I pray that, this world needs more compassion, don't we, for the lost. Well, when I look at Joseph, I see not only his compassion, I see his commitment. Because if we look into verse 8, as they're telling this dream as to why they're so despondent, it says, "We have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God Tell me them, I pray you. What Joseph just did was an affront to their pagan religion. He uses the word Elohim here. The Elohim in the Bible, God, the Creator. Now think about this. Back in those days, the Pharaoh was considered a god. All those that were in high positions considered themselves as gods. Oh, they worshiped the false gods. Joseph was committed to God. It was like a reflex. It just came out, didn't it? He didn't hesitate here. He didn't say, you know, I can't be speaking about my own God here in this culture that's full of pagans and that threw me here. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't afraid. He was bold in his commitment. And not his commitment only to God, but his commitment to help these two who were there with him. You know, Brother Gary prayed about, you know, those that help out, that do things maybe behind the scenes, and we need all those kinds of people. But I can tell you what, oftentimes, volunteering to be committed to something, it's hard to get people to do, isn't it? Look within our own lives as to when was the last time we did volunteer to do something, maybe more than what we might have done before, to be committed to a good cause. Maybe to give a little bit more than we have previously. Or join those brothers that are working together to do something, you know, good for the congregation and for the denominations as a whole. Oh, we need people who are committed, don't we? You know, and this dream is very interesting. Joseph could have said, you know, I don't want to hear about your dreams because it was dreams that got me into this mess in the first place. I don't want anything to do with it. Well, he doesn't do that. You know, back in the Egyptian culture, they actually, the Egyptians and Babylonians had books of dreams. Because what they thought was, they thought that these dreams were actually ministries from their own gods. And their gods were giving them direction and instructions in life, and so they had professional dream interpreters. And these men who had these dreams would have known about that and said, oh yeah, you know, I remember this is what it should mean. And no, there was none of that. Because this was a supernatural event. This was not just something that they conjured up on their own. This was a dream given by God. He was committed. It didn't matter how long it was that he had been there. He believed God that in some way, Joseph, I'm speaking of now, who gave him a dream, would one day make that come true. And so he didn't hesitate to say, you know what, I do know about dreams. Mine hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to tell you, there is one, and that is God, who knows and can direct what this means for your life. And maybe you haven't given your life to the Lord. And you know, you might be one of those people that are out there just kind of wandering around, wondering, well, what am I going to do with my life and where am I going to go? And I have no clue. And I meet people like that. You have to direct them to the Lord. And it doesn't mean everything's going to go smoothly at all times, not at all. But it does mean that we can fall back upon the promises of God and His inspiration, and we can ask Him, Lord, I want you to direct my life and lead me. You know, sometimes things, you know, there's a saying, good things come to those who wait. Well, does it always? Well, it didn't happen to Joseph yet, did it? But yet when we look at the patience in the Bible, that the Bible speaks about, you know, being patient and waiting for the Lord, are we able to really do that? Sometimes we want, Lord, it's not fast enough. Can you please hurry it up for me? I'd like an answer right now. Can you imagine waiting 11 years for an answer or more? Joseph did. And in all this, not one bitter word. Even when he explained his situation, he could have spilled it all out there. No bitterness there. What a beautiful example of forgiveness. And just incidentally, just another typology here. You know, the butler was essentially a cupbearer who brought the wine to the king and tasted the wine before the pharaoh or the king would do so in case it was poisoned. And the baker, overseeing the kitchen staff and the bread. What does the bread and the wine represent? You're going to have communion this afternoon. Isn't that interesting? As it unfolds before us, and we think about God and Christ and his compassion and his care and his concern. And over here, you know, Joseph says to them, remember me. What does Jesus say during communion? Remember me as often as you do this, remembrance of me. But you see, we can't just let ourselves be idle during that period of time, however long it might be, that God is trying to show or direct us. Oh, you know, Moses, when you think about how many years that God had to direct through the wilderness, 40 years. Think of a man by the name of John Bunyan, who shortly after he was married was cast into prison for over 12 years. Why? Because he wanted to preach the truth, and they said no. You're not going to preach. In prison you go. What did he do? He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote The Holy War. He wrote his autobiography, among other things. All while being patient in a prison cell. We can turn to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. What do we see here? What we look at is we see this. God led them round about. Isn't that what we focus upon? God led them round about. But what about the part that says, and God led them? You see, yeah, they went all around. You see, God doesn't always lead us in straight lines through our lives. He may show us different things as he unfolds day by day what happens to each one of us. Are we willing to let him do that? You know, and the other thing that I see about this man is courage. Courage, why? Well, you know, the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. He says, hey, that sounds pretty good. You know that interpretation of the dream you just gave? How about me? I want to hear something good. Joseph could have said, oh, no, you don't. You don't want to hear this one. But he told him what it meant. And it came to pass exactly as Joseph had informed them. You know, sometimes we have to tell people bad news along with the good news. We like to preach the gospel, all the good news, but that's what the gospel means, good news. But you also need to understand, we also have to tell the part that isn't so pleasant. As much as we like to speak about heaven, we also have to talk about hell. And you know, sometimes people don't want to hear the bad news, do they? They just want to hear the good things. Maybe not the unpleasant things in life, but it's the truth. And that's why I say Joseph had courage, because he told the truth. He could have tried to sugarcoat it, but he didn't. You know, and oftentimes, those who are Christians, we come across people who are hanging by a thread between heaven and earth or earth and hell. We'll come across people all the time, and we never know, even our own, when it's our last day or our last breath. I remember one such day, seeing a patient in the intensive care unit who wasn't looking so good and was probably going to pass on. As I walked in the room, the family member said, "Well, you know, what's the prognosis here?" And I proceeded to be honest. He said, "Well, wait a minute, don't say this. Let's go outside the room and talk." I said, "Well, wait a minute. It very well could be, you know, that your loved one here can hear. And if so, needs to understand in the moments that they have left, there's something they need to make peace with before meeting their maker. Because, you know, one of the last senses that goes is hearing, we are told. And those who may be seeming in a coma might be able to hear. Are we willing to take a stand for the truth? And even in the last moments, tell somebody, you know what, yet there is hope. Call upon the Lord. What can we learn from this? Well, I hope we learn a few things. You know that we need compassion for other people, especially we are called Christians to be a light in this world. And we can look for opportunities to be committed to God and to other people, to give of ourselves and our time, which is what we all stated we would do when we became believers, isn't it? Our talents, finances, whatever it might be that God has given to us. We could also have the courage to speak that which is true, that which is right. The other thing is, the Bible says that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years until the chief butler happened to bring up Joseph's name. 2 full years. These aren't years where Joseph was out active doing something. He was in a prison cell. Because it says that the chief butler didn't remember Joseph, but forgot him. Why? He was elevated back to his own position. It was the worldly cares all around him. Who cares about this prisoner that told me what was going to happen? People will let you down. They will. You will be disappointed, maybe by a spouse, a loved one, maybe children, parents, with each other, maybe even church family. It will happen. But that doesn't mean we just give up. That isn't what Joseph did. He didn't have a defeatist attitude. He still trusted in Almighty God and understood that God was the one who showed him, and one day God will continue to direct as he stated what would happen. There's a Psalm 118:8, that says it is better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We're going to be able to remember that we need to put our full trust and our faith in Almighty God and our confidence. Yes, we need each other. But not to put our full faith in something else or somebody else unless we put first our faith and our trust in Almighty God. God will direct our paths. He promised he would do that to those who are his children. And so, as you go home, maybe, and you read the rest of the story, think about, how would I react? What would my character be like? Would God be pleased with the way I react to situations in life? And would I be able to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done?